Lord. Amen. Turn with me in your Bible, if you will. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to begin to read there at verse number 8. Thank you, musicians. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today. Amen. I'm glad you're here. Amen. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning to read at verse number 8. It says this. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. My topic today, he looked for a city. Would you pray with me? Lord, I love you. I thank you. Jesus, you're wonderful and worthy. Lord, we're asking even now, Lord, that your hand, God, would be upon us. Lord, help me to say of your word. And Lord, help us to receive what it is that the word has for us today. I know, God, that you're able, and I know your word is already established. Lord, it's we that need to comprehend it, to know it, Lord, that we might receive of your spirit today, to know you by your word. Thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. He looked for a city. Amen. Abraham, he was one of the most unique characters in all of Scripture that we find. One of the things I noticed is the only man ever called the father of the faithful. He was the only man ever called the friend of God. Amen. He was called out, told by God his instructions. He didn't know where he was supposed to go. He didn't know exactly where he was going to end up. But he knew he was to follow God. He was looking for a city. You know, my friend, I am looking for a city. Amen. I'm looking for a promised place. I don't know exactly where it is, but I know God is going to bring me there. Amen. You see, I've read the back of the book. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm looking for a city. Praise the Lord. I hope you are too. Abraham spent most of his life looking for a city. Amen. God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, the land of his ancestry. He called him from there. God's commands to Abraham, they were very clear. He didn't misunderstand them. He was supposed to leave his family at home, and he was supposed to look for a city. And here's the hints: which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, that clear, yet he couldn't quite grasp what it was he was supposed to do. He didn't clearly understand where it was he was supposed to go. But he, by faith, struck out. He acted upon God's will in his life. He acted upon the instruction that he received from God. You see, in our own walk with God, we don't always know where God is going to have us end up. But I do know I'm to follow God. Amen. I do know I am looking for a heavenly home. Amen. You see, my aspirations, my hopes, my dreams, if you will, they're not centered on things on this earth. They are centered on things that are heavenly. Amen. God promised Abraham that he would be a father of many nations. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning to read at verse 11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age. 89 years old, she got pregnant. A miracle from God. Literally, God restored her flesh that she would conceive. Amen. And was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. She knew that God could fulfill his promise. That God would keep his word. Amen. Anybody believe God is going to keep his word? Amen. I believe that God will keep his word. He will. He will. Verse number 12. Therefore sprang there even one of him as good as dead. Abraham. Now, he was 99 when the pregnancy took place, 100 years old when the promised child came. Amen. I'll tell you what, it'd be simply amazing to have a child in your old age. I'm not looking for that, Lord. Grandkids are great. Amen. Therefore sprang there even one of him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. Amen. According to the sand that is by the seashore. I believe it would be incalculable. You couldn't calculate how many grains of sand are on the earth. How could you ever accurately count the grains of sand on the face of the earth? God can. Amen. God can. Good answer. God can. But I can't. You know, how about this? In fact, they're still working on it. Counting all the stars, all the planets, all the heavenly bodies that are out there that God made also. Amen. He placed them there. Amen. The Big Bang is God said, and it was. Amen. When God said it, it became. It was because God said it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Earthly offspring, spiritual offspring were given as a heritage to Abraham. Amen. We are a part of that promise. We, the believers in the promise of God, we, the believers in the God of Abraham, are that offspring, if you will, the seed of Abraham. If you follow the steps of Abraham, as he is recorded in Scripture, he's searching for a city. He is off on his journey. He's following what he believes the plan and the will of God. There are four major lessons that I'd like to point out today that you can learn along this path, along following his leading, if you will. Lesson number one, the sin of only going halfway. Someone say halfway. Man, I don't want to stop halfway. Let me show you this. Genesis chapter 11, continuing to read verse 31. And Terah took Abraham, his son, and Lot, the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife. And they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. They had a journey. They were on a path. And they came to Haran. Or Haran. I'm not quite sure how to pronounce that city. And dwelt there. They stopped there. And the days of Terah were 205 years. And Terah died in Haran. Haran was exactly halfway between Ur of the Chaldees and Canaan land. They stopped. They were on the path. They were headed the right way. They were following the plan of God. They were doing what they were supposed to do. And they stopped halfway. God told Abraham to take his wife Sarah and to leave Ur of the Chaldees. He did that. He did what he was instructed in that regard. And he was to look for a city. He was looking for the city whose builder and maker is God. He was looking exactly for what God told him to look for. He was trying to do what God told him to do. He was looking for Canaan land. He was looking for the promised land. Tell you what, I am looking for a heavenly home. I'm looking for a city that hath foundations. Amen. This city has streets of gold. This city is a fabulous place that God has prepared. I'm looking for that city. Abraham, he took with him his father, Terah. When the group came to a quote-unquote pleasant, someone say pleasant. They came to a pleasant place. Just because it's nice there doesn't mean that that's the place where you're supposed to stay. Just because you feel comfortable there doesn't mean that that's the place that God wants you to dwell in. They found a pleasant place called Haran. Terah pressed his son to stay there instead of pressing on to the promised land. Abraham and Sarah remained at Haran with Terah for many, someone say many, for many years. They are delaying receiving God's promise because they wanted to stay in a pleasant place. Halfway between Ur of the Chaldees and Canaan land. There are people that have set out on their path to walk with God, to understand Him. They've learned how to pray and how to seek His face. They've learned how to live a new life. They've started out on this journey. Perhaps they've found a pleasant place. Oh, it's pretty good right here. I kind of like what I'm doing. I kind of like where I am. I kind of like where things are. And they choose to stay right there. Halfway between where they were and where God wants to bring them. Halfway between Ur in Canaan. You see, living for God halfway is not going to get you to heaven. If they chose to live in Haran and stop journeying to Canaan land, they're never going to arrive at God's promise. I don't want to stop my walk with God. I don't want to stop progressing in my growth in God. Just because I may have come to a pleasant place, I may have come to a place where I understand who God is, I have a revelation of the name of Jesus Christ, I've been baptized in Jesus' name, I've been filled with the Holy Ghost, I've got to walk with God. But because it's a pleasant place, it's not reason to be satisfied with where I am. Amen. Don't stop halfway. We're on this journey to a heavenly home. We're on the journey to a place, to a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It's a promise. It's in His Word. It really does exist. It is a heavenly home. I want to go there. But I can't be satisfied with that pleasant place. I can't be satisfied just because I know who God is. I've got to continue my walk with God. I've got to continue my journey all the way to the promised land. I've got to continue growing in Jesus Christ my whole life. Keep on pressing. Keep on exploring with the Word of God. Keep on building your faith. Don't be satisfied with only going halfway. Amen. God did not intend for Abraham to continue living in a place that was only halfway to the promise. Amen. Don't stop growing in God because, oh, I've been baptized. I've already arrived. Well, you're on the right path, my friend. You've begun the right journey. You are on the way to the promised land. You are on the right path. Keep on going. Don't stop. Don't be satisfied with just a little bit. Go ahead and get all of God that God has for you. Go ahead and keep growing in Jesus Christ. Go ahead and believe God for the impossible. Amen. He didn't intend us to stop halfway. He didn't intend for us to stop in Haran. Amen. Keep on going to the promised land till we arrive through those pearly gates. Amen. When we arrive in that holy city. Amen. Lesson number two. It's a lesson of second guessing God. Oh, people are pretty good at trying to find their own way, thinking they know how to get there. They're pretty good at second guessing God. Genesis chapter 12, let me begin to read there at verse number 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. What a fabulous promise. I tell you, God has given us fabulous promises. So Abraham departed. He started out on his journey as the Lord had spoken unto him. Get this now. And Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. He's back. He arrived halfway. He made the mistake of staying there years. But now he's on his journey. He's left Haran and he's on his journey to the promised land. He's doing what God told him to do. Except Lot went with him. God said, leave your kindred and your family behind. Follow me. I think I'll just bring my nephew. I think I'll bring my nephew with. You see, Abraham knew there was a promise from God. He knew that God would keep his promise. He knew that there was going to be a blessing and that he would be blessed. But he also knew he had to leave Haran. He did that. God told him to leave your kindred behind. And you got to get going looking for the city. Abraham took Lot with him. Let me stress that right here. Abraham had faith in God. He believed God's promises of blessing and of multiplying. However, he knew, Abraham knew that Sarah, his wife, was barren. He had been with her for years now. She had no child. She had not bore any children. So Abraham came up with plan A, first plan. I think I can help God here. I'm going to bring my nephew with. Surely God can use him to be a blessing. Took his nephew Lot, his brother's son. Surely God can make me a mighty nation through my brother's son, Lot. That caused problems before they even got there. Before they even arrived, things were not good. Genesis chapter 13. And Lot also, he went with Abram. Had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. We're family. We don't need to be arguing and fighting. There don't need to be any strife, any unkind deeds and words. There didn't need to be any trouble amongst us. We're family. Would you believe strife even comes in families? Can you believe that? I believe it. Verse number 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right, then I will go to the left. There comes a time that he chooses, well, I better do what God said. He learned the hard way that God's way is the best way. It's a hard lesson to learn. But if we can learn to follow what God says, if we can just do what God says, life is a whole lot better when we obey the word of God. Amen. It's a lesson they had to learn. Obey God. So plan A didn't work. Now, another second guessing came from Sarah. Sarah came up with plan B. You see, she also knew that she was barren and that the promise would be of their seed and that she had no child. And, you know, how can this be? There's got to be an answer. She's thinking in her mind. She's coming up with her own plan. Plan B. Genesis chapter 16. beginning at verse 1. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. And she had an handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me. The Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I obtain children by her. And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Thank you. I'll learn how to turn that off in a better way later. Sorry about that. I'm handicapped. Sorry. I touched the screen and something happened that I wasn't expecting. So Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Sarah had a plan. Oh, I know how we can have children. My handmaid can bear children, and God is going to bless us through that child. She comes up with her own plan to quote unquote, get this now, help God. My. Much of the fighting in the world today is a result of that decision. That one decision caused fighting on the face of the earth for 4,000 years. They're still fighting because of that choice. Abraham had a child with Hagar, Ishmael. Ishmael is the father of the Arab nations of the earth. The Arabs and the Jews have fought for 4,000 years they've been fighting. So many times, God tells us that He is going to do some great thing that is beyond our comprehension, that seems impossible at the time, that God's promise is so great, it's so wonderful, our human mind cannot conceive how God could do that in us. I'm telling you, God's promises are far beyond our wildest comprehension. I've let my mind elaborate just as far as my mind can comprehend. And I believe God's promises are even greater than my mind can conceive. Heaven is the new city that God has built for us is going to be more wonderful, more glorious, more spectacular than anything that has ever existed on the face of the earth. Greater than anything that any mind has ever conceived. God's ways are higher than our ways. God is able when we are not. We don't need to second guess God. We try to help Him, quote unquote, get His will done. We attempt to make happen with the arm of flesh what God intends to do miraculously. Amen. Never put God in second place. Whether it be in your home, in your family, or in your relationship, on your job, never put God in second place. Amen. Amen. Always put God first, and He will see us through. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God's ways are higher than our ways. He can and will do the miraculous. Praise the Lord. So we don't necessarily, our own fleshly idea is not what God told us to do. Amen. Well, lesson number 3 is separate thyself. It was a lesson that he had to learn. Again, from Genesis chapter 13, verses 8 and 9. I've read it already, but let me read it again. And Abraham said unto Lot, "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between thy herdmen, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. You choose. You go one direction, I'm going the other. Your choice first. You can choose which way you want to go, and I will take the other." He's putting a proposal before his nephew that we need to separate, but let's do it in peace. Let's go our own ways and be friends. Let's keep ourselves in unity while we separate. Let's not be enemies. God told Abraham to leave everything behind on his journey to look for a city whose builder and maker is God. Abraham took Lot. It was a mistake. Eventually, they separated their ways. We've went through that. Most of the people who struggle with their relationships, with their relationship with God, do so because of ungodly, fleshly relationships. We have to separate ourselves from the ungodly, from the unholy, from the things that are not right before God. There are friendships with people that we have, and they are not looking for that holy city. You know, if you were to expound on your belief on heaven, you know, if I tell somebody my understanding of heaven, very possibly they may think, if they're not scripturally sound, they may think this guy is off his rocker. I'm telling you, God's ways are higher than our ways. Amen. There are friends that we need to separate from. Now, I still work with them. I still have peace with them. I still can relate to them. But that's not my bosom buddy. That's not who I'm going to be hanging out with. You see, they keep company with people whose lifestyle conflict with the lifestyle of a child of God. If it's their custom to go out to dinner and, you know, have a few drinks, draw the line. Man, I can't do that. I can't go there. I can't be a part of that. You've got to choose to separate yourself from the ungodly. If you want to change you, often the place to start is to change your surroundings, your company. Don't hang out with the ungodly. Don't go around with the ungodly. Don't do the ungodly. Don't go to the places that are ungodly. If it used to be where you went to hang out and have drinks and get drunk and have fun, I'm telling you, that place will bring you down. Oh, well, I'm drinking Coca-Cola. I didn't have any alcohol. No, you are dragging yourself into the clutches of sin because of that relationship with sin. Break off the associations and the situations that are not righteous. Stop going to the places and doing those things that will hinder or even destroy your walk with God. No wonder Paul admonished the Corinthian church. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. There really is an action on our part that we need to heed and take note of and do and obey. You can't live in the world and be godly. You can't do the unrighteous and be righteous. See, there's this last, the fourth lesson I'd like to point out today is living too close to sin. When Abraham and Lot, they separated, they went their separate ways. Genesis chapter 13, verses 10 and 11. Again, I'm reading, or in fact, this is a continuing from what I read before. And Lot lifted up his eyes. Behold, all the plain of Jordan. And it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. You see, Lot did agree with his uncle. We got to go our separate ways. But he chose the lush, the beautiful, the easy, bountiful way, or so he thought. Oh man, this looks, I can climb the mountain or the green fields. I can go to where the city is. I can go off to the wilderness. I can climb the mountain. He thought he was choosing the best way. He thought he was choosing the easy way. Now, he did choose a city. He was looking for a city. Come on, we're looking for a city. There's one right over there. It's easy to get to. Just go by this plane. It's right there. You can. It's not too far from here. I can get there. I can get to that city. It's the wrong city. Don't be satisfied with the wrong city. They were looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. Just because there is a city doesn't make it the right city. It was not the place that Abram was looking for. Lot went into that city. He was even exalted. He was given a place of authority in that city. He was given a place of a judge He would sit in the gate of the city day by day, and he would hear the ungodly and the immorality of the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He was a judge in that place. Some people live so close to sin that they become calloused to the sin that is around them. He ended up living in that sinful place, dwelling there. If we become callous to the sin that is around us, when sin no longer offends us, if they don't feel the conviction or the condemnation of the sin in that place, eventually, when our righteousness has been calloused, when we even may laugh at their sin. Oh, well, they don't really know what they're doing. Oh, well, they mean well. He's really a good guy. He doesn't mean to harm anybody. It doesn't make it right when we hang out and live with sin. So it was with Lot, living in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Apostle Paul gives us a snapshot look at Lot in contrast. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. It says, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly." What God did to Sodom and Gomorrah should be an example unto us. If we live and accept sin, if we don't get out of there, our future is going to be ashes. It's going to be burnt up with fire. I tell you, if you live in sin, you're destined to hell. Those are tough words, Pastor. It's a tough truth. It's a tough truth. Verse number 7. "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked." Verse 8. "For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." It does not imply that Lot was doing what they're doing. It does not imply that he himself was partaking in all that sin. But he was living in the middle of it. He was dwelling there with it. When he came up every day, he saw it day in and day out. He could see in his life all around him the sin in the city. He could see the ungodly ways of the people all around him. It's absolutely wicked. When those angels came to visit him, what they tried to do to those angels. They intended to enforce their ungodly ways upon them. God delivered him. You know, sometimes when we're living in an ungodly place, we just need God to deliver us. We just need God to remove us from the ungodly place to bring us to the place that He wants us to be. We got to remove ourselves from the ungodly to the righteous. On the one hand, Peter refers to Lot as that righteous man. Then he tells us that Lot vexed his righteous soul. You see, it was his choice to live in the ungodly place that put him in that spot. It was his choice to put up with sin. And I don't want to put up in my life and live around and choose the path to be in the midst of a sinful world all around me. Lot vexed his righteous soul by his own choice. You see, sometimes we can be our own worst enemy. When we choose to live in the ungodly place. Musicians, would you come? I'm closing with this. I got one more place in Scripture. I'm going to close. The Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. If you compare Lot to the people that lived in Sodom and Gomorrah, he was a righteous man. But if you compare Lot, who chose to live in sin, in a sinful place, Lot was a sinner. You know, it'd be easy to compare yourself, or it'd be a mistake of compromising ourselves by comparing ourselves with the world. Well, that guy gets drunk and does ungodly things. I quit doing that. Don't compare yourself to the ungodly. Get this now. Here's another good point. Don't compare yourself to your brother or sister in Jesus Christ. Don't compare ourselves among ourselves. Well, I pray more than he does. Don't get so puffed up. You're in trouble, my friend. Don't compare yourself to your brother. Don't compare yourself to me. Compare yourself to the Word of God. To Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me? I want my life to be just as close to Jesus Christ as I can get. Amen. Compare yourself to the Word of God. Okay. We're not comparing ourselves among ourselves. But I would ask that each of us would compare ourselves. Where is our place right now, today, in Jesus Christ? Amen. Where do I need to go on that path to the city? Lord Jesus, I want to make it to heaven. I want my life to be saved. Lord, I want my family to be blessed. Lord, I want the heritage, God, of my family following you. God, I want my family to be saved. Lord, I want to follow after you. Jesus, I want to please you. Don't compare yourself to everybody else. Compare yourself to Jesus. Compare yourself to the righteousness of God. And then we can see which way we should go. Would you do that with me right now? Would you lift your hands? Would you pray and ask God, show me how to get there?